I've got it figured.
You do?
I've had two separate folks tell me there've been strangers around these parts last couple nights. Can't tell what they look like, because they're staying in the shadows, covert-like. Nobody's been hurt, mind you, and that's the giveaway.
I see.
It's called probing. It's a military procedure. You send out a reconnaissance group, very small, check things out. Not to engage, but to evaluate the situation. Evaluate the level of danger. Make sure things are all clear.
Clear for what?
For the rest of them.
Yeah. You got a pamphlet or something I can read?
Jayo, you there, buddy? Hello. This is ridiculous.
What?
Hello?
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
I'm okay. Who's this?
This is Richard, but these clowns at Blog Talk Radio have got some serious problems.
What's going on? And how did you get through, Richard?
Well, I dialed my host's number. I've got a show that I'm actually supposed to be doing right now.
Okay. Well,
and I stick my host's PIN number in, and it automatically goes to whatever show they feel like sending it to.
Oh, well, you know what? This is an interesting way to open up a show. So how do you want to deal with this conundrum here?
I don't know. The only conundrum I can think of is ever since... I presume a week or so ago they've, you know, changed the switchboard and done some different things and some upgrades, and so far it's just plain not working for me.
Yeah, I've been having problems. Okay, this is an interesting show. This is give me a second here, Richard, and I'll get to you. I don't even know. I'm hoping now, considering what you just informed me of, that this is even going to archive or going to broadcast. But I'm World Brain. My name is Conrad, and God, somebody's calling me. Well, you know what? I'm going to show my flexibility. Hold on one second. You still there, Richard?
Yes, I am.
Hold one second there, buddy. Be patient. That's all we can do, right?
That's all we can do.
All right. Well, hold one second.
Play the Addams Family.
Are you still there, Rick?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Mace, give me cat. Hey, I hear a dog. Boy, this is really interesting. You know what? Blog Talk Radio, was really a nice format, new platform they have, real jazzy, very accessible, but
very.
I think still working the glitches out of it. Apparently, whoever wrote this program, maybe they weren't quite adept at Plus or whatever it is. I don't know.
Well, here's what I mean. If you want a little bit of humor.
Yeah, let's
here's a little humor for you. You'll probably hear this, and tell me if you do.
It makes no sense. It doesn't fit. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
I mean, I'm playing my sounds, you know, my files, you know, off the soundboard.
Okay. Oh. I don't know.
I'm on my switchboard playing sounds on your show.
Okay. I tell you what, do you have chat open? Do you have your chat open?
Yeah, I'm going to start my chat now and see what happens.
Okay, start chat. I want to type something to you.
Okay.
Here we go.
Isn't this amazing?
Oh, this is beautiful. You know what? But this is, I don't know if this is atypical. This is probably new. They probably expected this, and I hope we get some kind of credit for this, for navigating through these rough, uncharted issues. You know, at least maybe, feature us a little more prominently or something. Okay, just one second. I'm going to send this to you. I want you to confirm whether or not we have the same host PIN number here or not.
Okay.
Not working. Okay.
I'll try this too.
Unbelievable. Thank you very little.
Is that in the room? You see that?
Yeah, let me go here. Chat. Let me see here. Hey, I see that you've Sean O'Mac joined the room.
I've what in their room?
Joined the room.
Okay. Do you see I typed my number in there?
I did nothing on my web chat came up.
Okay, well, you know, maybe this is helping them to figure this stuff out.
Now, you're Sean O'Mac Radio, correct?
Me, Sean O'Mac? No.
No. Well, now I've got somebody else in here.
No, I'm. Is Sean O'Mac chatting with you right now?
Well, all of a sudden he's in my.
Okay, well, you know what? He's a friend. He's a good guy. He talked me through some water time. I was having a little some glitches there, and I'm going to go talk to Sean for a second. And you know what? I was going to kick it off with, you know, what's the content of your show? The topic of your show tonight, there, Rick?
Mine is sports oriented. Mainly centered around Mountaineer football in West Virginia, but however, we will address anything that comes up.
Right. Okay. Well, what would your opinion be? What's your opinion about? You're familiar with Bin Laden's last videotape that he graced us with, right?
Oh yeah, we saw it, heard it, whatever you wanna.
Yeah,
I'm just for basically trying to find the dirt bag and just making sure he's 6 feet under.
But you know what my opinion is on that? I think they know where he is. And it's sort of like not taking out the big boss in the crime syndicate because you want to see all the cronies and connect the dot. That's my opinion. I may be wrong. Call me conspiratorial, but I think they've known exactly where he's been all this time, and they know. You know what I find interesting about that last videotape? They were actually able to intercept it. Okay. All right. Okay. They were much aware of where that website was. They actually headed it off, the release, something to that effect. So they were aware. So that's my opinion, okay? And actually, I think that's very smart, and that's something I would not want people to know. You know what I mean? And it makes total sense to me, actually. But who am I? I'm just a working stiff, lives in America, enjoys freedom, and I have a little audio blog here called Blog Talk Radio. That's who I am. And my topic tonight, any comment on that there, Richard?
As far as Bin Laden's concerned, I tend not to listen to a lot of quote talk radio or the mainstream media, because I just get so frustrated at the ignorance of most Americans and just how they just take the news as gospel. I mean, go out on any street corner and ask them, you know, who the Secretary of Defense is. You ask some of them who the President of the United States is, they don't even know.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, yeah.
Yeah, and that just amazes me. And I tell you what, it really amazes this. But by the way, new platform, Blog Talk?
Actually, it was about 3 or 4 days ago, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and I'm sure they're going to have to work the glitches out. All I can say is, I don't know if our networks have crossed or I'm doing your show.
Actually, I'm on your show or you could be doing mine. Let's try something here, if you don't mind, since this thing is so messed up. I'm going to try to bring a buddy of mine in here to see what's going on here.
Okay.
Let's bring. Hey, J.O., you there, buddy? Jim, you there, buddy? Now, see, I tried to bring him on air with us. And I couldn't bring him up.
Okay. Does your host pin end in 4-4 by chance?
No, mine ends in 7-4.
Oh, okay. Then you're, I'm assuming somehow got into my programming format here.
So. Yeah, no, I mean, I know. I actually dialed the correct number.
Oh, no, I'm not saying you.
Yeah.
I'm not accusing you of dialing the wrong number or anything. I'm
but they've hooked me into your platform somehow.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I did notice, and we'll get back to,
this is unreal.
Yeah. So what were you going to talk about? Well, no, let me follow up on what I was going to say earlier. But first, let me share something with you real quick. As far as addressing the level of ignorance in this country, do you know what? You're 100% correct. And you know where it starts? It starts in the education system. And you know what? That's a Stalinist tactic. That's a communistic tactic. If they can get the minds of the youth, they got the country. Who was it? Khrushchev said they were going to take us down without a shot. Right? He said that the capitalists were going to hang themselves with the very rope that they make. Now the threat isn't communism. However, I still say communism hasn't went away. Communism has sort of morphed something entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
Stalinist mentality and attitude. And I played this soundbite the other day. Just give me your opinion of something that a potential presidential candidate in America, in her own words, give me your opinion. It's a very short clip, and just bear with me here. Here you go.
Okay. Right. And by the way, what is the name of your show? Because I've got Sean asking. It looks like he says our streams are crossed.
Democrats know what needs to be done. Again, we're working to try to push this agenda forward. The other day, the oil companies reported the highest profits in the history of the world. I want to take those profits and I want to put them into a strategic energy fund that will begin to fund alternative smart energy alternatives and technologies that will begin to actually move us toward the direction of independence.
There you go.
Well, first of all, Sean wants to know, what's the name of your show? It looks like we've got a stream crossed here.
Oh, mine is World Consciousness. And I am World Brain, otherwise known as Conrad.
world consciousness?
Yeah, yeah. I was scheduled for 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Sean's a good guy. He helped me through. But hopefully he'll get us rerouted somehow. Maybe they got some geeks there. Maybe we might have all the geek control there.
Let me address your specific question about the Hillary clip. I'll take it. First of all, let me go back to your comment that you made about the education system. While I truly feel that the education system is failing, by watching my kids in school, it really starts in the home, because it's amazing how many parents could give a crud less about their kids' education, won't even work with them doing their homework, just let them sit there and just let the school let the schools raise them instead of them raise their kids. It is possible to get your children through a public school system and even college without their minds being filled with a bunch of mush.
Right.
Now on to Hillary's comments. All Hillary is doing there is playing class warfare, wanting to rob Peter and pay Paul.
Do you think it's merely words, speaking to a pandering to a certain group of people?
To some extent, what wouldn't surprise me if she would do it. But what got me in that whole thing is she said the Democrats have been trying to get this done. Well, you know what? You tried it for 40 years until the Republicans got in trouble with the contract with America and Newt Gingrich.
Did you say got in trouble?
Not got in trouble, but they've been trying this for 40 years until Newt Gingrich and the Republicans took over.
Oh, I see. Yeah. That was the essentially the Republican Revolution. That was speaking to some serious issues. I mean, we're talking about, are we going to be a nanny state? Are we going to be providing from cradle to grave? I mean, we were essentially fostering a dependent class in perpetuity is what we were doing. And with the Contract America, the main hinge pin was, reforming welfare. And they dragged Clinton kicking and screaming to that. He vetoed it a few times. I had actually, in one of my past segments, I had a discussion, a very in-depth discussion with a friend in regard to that. I mean, basically what it comes down to is, do you teach a man to fish and allow him to feed himself for the rest of his life, or do you provide a fish for him on a daily basis? That's pretty much as simple as it gets. You know, and then if you want to continue to provide a man, who's going to be empowered to do that? Now, you empower government to give. You know, government gives, but government will take. For everything you give up, there's a sacrifice. And this is what I'm speaking to, is personal responsibility, personal liberty, freedom that this country was founded on. The things necessary to keep a vital representative republic alive, individual freedom and liberty. So that's my position.
Well, and it is an American's responsibility to take care of themselves. But see, that's the problem, is we've become so inundated with the idea that, you know, we want everybody else to support us. I mean, I'm in the state of West Virginia. And it was funny because I was part of a medical equipment company and with businesses up and down the East Coast. And whenever the company magazine came out, they said, in all of our divisions, with the exception of West Virginia, the number one payer are private insurances, such as Blue Cross, Blue Shield, but in the state of West Virginia, 75% of the insurances that exist are Medicare and Medicaid. My wife is an obstetrics nurse. Probably 50% of the people that she sees roll on her unit are Medicaid patients.
Mm-hmm.
Young, unmarried. Some of them she's seen multiple times. They just keep having kids to stay on the good old dole of the government.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, if that was my kid, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, if you got stupid, you know, and the thing about it is you can teach your kids all you want. But sometimes they're just going to make decisions that are just plain stupid, and they're going to make them on their own. But I'm here to tell you, if my daughter was stupid and did that, and then it would be, okay, you need to get out, get a job, and support it. Because I'm not going to support you forever. Doesn't mean I don't love my daughter and won't try to help her out. But, you know, we've got to have, there's no accountability any longer on anything. And I'm not just talking in the United States, I'm not just talking about people. You go to one of the biggest things that where I've seen lack of accountability is within the church. The people, the group of people who are supposed to be principled, who are supposed to have standards to follow. And it's just unbelievable that that happens.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Actually, I can't remember the name of the guy, Richard. Speaking of kids, I'm remote now. I'm extremely remote, brother. I am in my car right now going to pick up my daughter from a friend's house. So I appreciate the continuity and, taking your time and, bantering back and forth with me while we work these blog talk glitches out. But it's a fun ride. You know, it's kind of like life, you know. You take it as it comes and you roll with the punches. You know what I mean? You like my mom always used to tell me, you get lemons, you make lemonade. Sell it 5 cents a cup. So, anyway, yeah, exactly. You know what? Accountability, that exactly, that hits it on the head. When and at what point, in the larger picture, all this political political correctness nowadays, no dodgeball, essentially, what are we doing? What are we doing as adults? What are we teaching our children by sheltering them from the consequences of their actions? Don't be too harsh on them. Don't allow that child to experience guilt for making a mistake or shame for doing something wrong. Whatever happened to that?
Well,
I think guilt and shame is a good thing. We learn from that. That's a mechanism internally that we learn from as human beings. Right, and otherwise, what do we do if we're sheltered from our consequences of our own mistakes? What kind of people are adults are we going to be, thrusting into the world? And what kind of world and accountability? And I tell you, matter of fact, and the one other point, and I seem like I'm jumping around, but this all ties in. Dr. Spock. Remember Dr. Spock? The guy says, time out, no spanking, and all this and that. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
To beam him up.
5 years ago, he actually recanted, and he apologized for ruining an entire generation of children. A lot of people don't realize that. And he now is a proponent of corporal punishment within reason, and the old school. I remember when I got my butt smacked in high school. I went to the principal office. They didn't call daddy and mommy and say, they took me in. They held me to account for what I did. And you know what? I learned from it. And I never did it again. And you know what? Personal accountability is out the window anymore. And look at what we're doing. We're taking this very concept of personal accountability, and we're spreading it throughout the world. America has become the breadbasket to the world. I don't mind helping countries, but I'm not going to sit there and prop up dysfunction in a country, sending money to countries that, enslave their own people, that torture their own people, that don't hold their own government to account, that don't hold their own people accountable and provide an atmosphere for them to stand on their own. So what? In the large picture, we're extrapolating dependency out to the world. Essentially is what we're doing. It's a macrocosm of the microcosm that we've developed in this own country, in our very own country, whether willingly or unwillingly. It's happened, and we're seeing it every day.
Well, here's the $50,000 question. Where all of a sudden did this, I know where, I'm not going to go into religion, I know where it went wrong with Adam and Eve. Okay, but at least in my generation, it seems like there was a certain point where the situation just amplified itself to where there's less accountability, less respect for people. Just the old idea, theory that, do what you want, doesn't matter what you say, if it feels good, do it. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, where did you start to see that happen?
Back in the 60s, 70s, the me generation. I'm a product of that generation. Would you agree with that?
Well, I mean, obviously in the late 60s I was born. But where I really started to see the drop-off, at least for, when I started to get into the world, is basically, in my opinion, after the class of 1990, everything went to hell in a handbasket.
Mm-hmm.
At least for where I'm coming from. A lot of the situations I see popping up in schools today, I didn't see popping up back when I was in high school.
Yeah.
A lot of those things. By the way, I'm really enjoying this. What on Blog Talk? What category are you listed under?
But I am under a bunch of them, actually. Life, politics. I don't know if I'm in any one specific category. If I am, I have forgotten. I apologize for that.
And what was the name of your show called?
The World Consciousness. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to try to see.
That's an excellent point. Going back to the 60s. Now, I would say I'm a product of the 60s, 70s. I was born in 55. That's when we started seeing a breakdown. Essentially, what happened, what we saw, I was witness to it. And now I see, I look back, that was like, tear the mother down. Anything anti-establishment was good. And you know what? There was a very prominent talk show host, Michael Savage, and he brought up a point, and I'm a talk show fanatic. I listen to it all. And I guess even if you can find a liberal talk show, I listen to them. But you know what? You hear one of those, you pretty much heard them all. You can turn ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS on and get the same
Clinton
thing.
News Network.
Pretty much Michael Savage made when he says one of the lures of communism was free love.
Mm-hmm.
What they used to do that back then, what they would do, and him being a youngster around that period, he had friends who used to attend these communist rallies, and they would offer free love to these guys to tempt them, essentially. Now, you know what? How can you go wrong? Now, who's going to turn down? You would turn down a meeting, say, look, hey, there are going to be some nice loose women there, and probably pretty much have your way with what you want. It's mm-hmm. pretty much the come on. So anyway, that was basically one of the hinge pins of the free love generation. And my point being is communism morphed. And they essentially modified themselves, knowing that with the mad, mutually assured destruction, that we weren't going to go there. So a different route. So they infiltrated us, and that's documented that members in the, if I'm not mistaken, the Truman administration were actual communist sympathizers and the like. I may stand corrected on that. A couple of those administrations, come on, it's alive and well nowadays, just as well as Nazism is, except Nazism has morphed itself into what? Into Islamofascism. It's fascism, it's Hitler with a headscarf, essentially, nowadays. Anyway, I'm here picking my daughter up now. Anything you want to say about that?
Well, not particularly that per se, but you were going back to accountability and just the way the media is. I happened to catch the Reverend Jackson, his comment about Barack Obama, the white comment.
Yeah,
and it's amazing how you get some of these people on from Al Sharpton's network, saying, yeah, and Hannity asked him a point blank question. He said, "Look, is Sharpton's comment could be considered racist, but yet you go after Don Imus?" And for the record, Don Imus's comment was not called for either.
Yeah.
But I just get so sick and tired of these double standards.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is coming. I don't even call Al Sharpton Reverend because I don't believe he deserves the respect of it. I figure what happened was, here's what Al Sharpton's doing. He has a cause, and his cause is activism concerning African-American issues, and all he's trying to do is make a buck, because probably the other 5 or 10 congregations he tried to pastor kicked his butt out. Now, that's hard talk, but that's straight talk.
Right.
But you know, you talk about the media and how liberal it is. I mean, it's just, you know, they've thrown Petraeus under the bus.
Yeah.
And not only did they run him over, they put it in reverse and ran back over him and just kept going and going and going. And what amazes me, and this goes back to our talking about level of ignorance, why can't Americans see through this stuff and just realize that all Harry Reid is trying to do is just bash the man with no substance, just Harry Reid's opinion that we're going down the wrong road?
Right. Well, you know why he wants to do that. It's necessary that they, that they essentially slaughter the messenger because of the message. Because if the message is real, if the message isn't, belittled, berated, made out to be other than what Petraeus' message was, then they lose. Because, as Rush Limbaugh said, and I said this the other night talking with a friend in my comeback program after a short sabbatical, Rush Limbaugh said, and I agree with it 100%, they're so invested in defeat that if they admit to an inkling of progress in Iraq, they're dead politically, and they're going to be shown for what they are. So, I mean, you want to talk about, and look, I'm not one that throws the treason word around easy. But what they did is treasonous. They didn't only vilify and belittle a prominent military member, General Petraeus, but they also vilified at the same time and belittled, besmirched our troops at the same time. Them guys over there that they sent there for a mission, and they threw them under the bus. They threw every military member under the bus, not only General Petraeus. And you know what? That is treasonous. That's despicable to marginalize their mission, their progress, to demoralize them. It's Vietnam redo, and that's exactly what they need again. They're looking for their another Carrie. They're looking for their Jane Fonda. They got the print media on their side. They got the left on their side. They want to make it out like America's the villain, the evildoer in the world. Wherever we go, we create problems, and until we leave, nothing will be okay. And that's pretty much what it is. Essentially, because if they lose face politically, if they're shown to be wrong, America is going to see it, if they aren't already, and I believe they are. Come 2008, we're going to be surprised. I can't believe Newt Gingrich gave Hillary an 80% chance of winning the presidency. But you know what? They think America doesn't listen and pay attention. I mean, with the advent of the Internet, they just don't have a toehold like they used to in the media. They think they do. Their numbers are dwindling. Look at the subscribers for the big lib papers, New York Times and all, L.A. Times. They're dwindling, and they know it, because the access is much more easy now by Internet, talk radio. And why do you think they want to bring back the fairness doctrine? Because they know the message is getting out there. People are listening. I was perusing the AM dial the other night, and I couldn't go a half an inch without
But without running into a talk radio that sounded pretty much conservative. So, and they're afraid of that. And the thing is, it goes back to what Jefferson said. Jefferson said the worst fear any government has is an informed citizenry. When people get to knowing what's going on with the government, what they're really doing, then they're going to take action. And that's their biggest fear. They want to keep people, well, they like to think, they like to portray it as people are ignorant and stupid. And, yeah, you brought up some points about the man in the street thing. I've listened to Sean Hannity. He does, they can't even identify a picture of Dick Cheney, you know, Condoleezza Rice, Secretary of State and all that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm kind of bouncing around there, but it all does tie in.
Well, and I'll take it a step further. You were talking about how, you know, they're trying to shoot the messenger by shooting down Petraeus. Here is one thing that the Democrats have not encountered in a while, and that is a Republican president who isn't throwing his waving his thumb in the air trying to figure out which way the wind's blowing.
Exactly.
They've got a president who's going to stand on principle, and he's going to stand on it no matter what the public opinion is. And it's not hard for the public opinion. It's not going to be hard for the public opinion to be down when 80% of the mainstream media is liberal.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what? That's the insidious nature of the media. They call themselves mass media, but if you look at their numbers, really, cable, all the alphabet channels, their numbers are very low compared to talk radio listeners, which have been deemed and verified as the most informed of the electorate. But you made a good point. Media, and they think, you know, with their numbers being so small, they have a big megaphone, yeah, because most everybody goes by. And you know what? The American media sets the tone worldwide for the mass media, and they pretty much just fall in lockstep, AP, you know, Reuters, all them, all these left-wing outfits, you know, these, and it's pretty much, because just look at the issues that they bury, that you really have to go looking to page 30 for, things that are important, like, you know, progress in Iraq, the tribal leaders, you know, finally realizing that they're going to have to, you know, stand up and embrace the Americans willingly as they have, finally realizing that America's there to help them. They're not there to kill their people. And they realize finally that Al-Qaeda and the insurgents, just stories like that that you can't find, that should be blazing across the front page considering we're in World War IV. We are in World War IV. The Islamo-fascists are wanting to, as bin Laden said, they want to take over the world. There are a very small percentage of them. You know, people don't realize it. And the only reason, now, they don't want to shape that message and instill that message into the mind of the American public. You know why? Because then the American public will be resolved. Then the American public will be crying for things to be done. Then the American public, just recently with Syria over there, and the report, did you read that on any front headline of any major newspaper? 600 missiles from Iran aimed at Israel? And how about the Israel, Syria, the Syrian threat to Israel, not to mention Lebanon? You know, do you read about that much? Only aggression by these countries like that? No. No, you don't read about. Only thing you hear about is, what, OJ? Britney Spears? I mean, come on. So they think people are stupid. And it's, you know, it's insidious. And you know what? You know, it's not, if they win the day, if for some reason we have to change course with a Democratic president in office, we're in big trouble. we are in big, big trouble.
Yeah, and right here, and you know, I think you'll enjoy this. We'll have a little laugh here. I mean, I turned on PMSNBC and even Fox News. I mean, you watch Greta, and all you heard all night was this.
In the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211, we, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder.
I mean, that's what in the world they're focused on these days.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And unfortunately. Whether we want to admit it or not, at least the quote, I mean, I remember 20 years ago when I was in high school, the only news network, and it was just starting up at the time, was when Ted Turner had CNN. The idea, here's another thing too, particularly Greta Van Susteren and all these cable news networks, they are sitting there waiting for the next OJ. They're waiting for the next Columbine. They're waiting for the next mass murder. They sit there and basically anything that can happen over in Iraq and go wrong, they're waiting to happen.
Exactly.
They're waiting for the next Don Imus to happen. And whether, you know, none of these shows, not all, some of them, don't have serious discussion about the issues. A lot of them are involved in how much sleaze can we put on in an hour.
Right. Yep.
Well, yeah. And that's the agenda. I mean, that, you know, I mean, all you heard was OJ, 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 OJ all the time. And it's like we're celebrating this clown's mistakes. We're celebrating this clown's, you know, all of his trials and tribulations. When, to be quite honest, what the guy really needs is some help.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, rather than just...
You know, I don't think he's ever been right, actually, ever since. And, yeah, he, you know what? Come on. You know, anybody that thinks he's not guilty of killing his wife and that Ron Goldman, you know, give me a break. You know,
well, you know what? Oh, here we go. I tell you what disappoints me about this whole OJ situation, and I'm going all the way back to the murders, is the level of hatred and that Fred Goldman displays. I mean, I can understand you could be upset, and I can understand that there's... I've never seen a man have so much hatred in his heart for one individual.
Yeah. Well, he's still consumed, you know.
Yeah. And what's funny, and then they go on Oprah and talking about... They admitted that they were getting a cut of this money. And I've got to admire Nicole Brown's sister, Denise, for saying, I refuse to be on Oprah with these people.
Right.
That the bottom line is money's involved.
Yeah, at what point does it become a dog and pony show? Yeah.
And she just said, I refuse to do it. I am not about to read something that's about the murder of my sister. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. Because she's exactly right. Now, obviously, Goldman and them are like, well, we just want the truth to come out. No, we're not all dummies. We don't need to read the book.
Yeah.
Rehash it, go over it. I mean, the whole thing was on national television for basically a year.
Yeah.
We might as well have been sitting on the jury. We might as well have been in the courtroom. We pretty much had access to almost everything.
Yeah. Yeah, there comes a point where it's got to be a demarcation made between what's real, and then it becomes turned almost into a dog and pony show entertainment. I hate to say that, but I think Mr. Goldman has kind of fell into that trap, and I think I don't know the man, but like you said, the degree of hatred, he's going to have to really, I can't speak for the man, but at some point you gotta move on, you know, and he's never gonna get what he wants. He's never gonna hear OJ utter the words, yes, I'm sorry, I did do it. He's never gonna get those words, and I think those are the words he's looking for.
I'm not even sure that would do it.
I'm sorry, say again?
I don't even think that would do it. I think his hatred's so horrible, even if he saw the video of him doing it. I don't think that's enough. I think there's so much hatred in this man's heart that he will never have any level of peace. And that's sad.
I'm sorry, repeat that again.
I don't believe he'll ever have any level of peace.
Oh, no.
Any level. I mean, just a little bit.
I can't imagine. I've lost brothers. I lost a brother in Vietnam. I lost a brother in a car wreck and another brother to an unfortunate accident. And I saw what my mom went through, and she took it in stride. And I tell you, I just, each time something like that happened, even as I was very young, but still it left a mark on me. And a part of me, when I think about it, and I talk to my sisters about it, if there's something missing. But I can't imagine losing a child of my, you know, I have four children. I couldn't imagine enduring that as a parent. I could not.
Well, it just seems to consume his life constantly.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah.
Is when something consumes your life 100% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's lost a child or anything, it is going to consume a certain part of your life.
Yeah. No
but
doubt.
Once again, we go to what I call hardcore, just straight out life talk. At some point, a certain section of you has to move on.
Right, right.
And get on with life. Because life is short, very short.
Yeah.
But, well, I hate to cut out on you, but I've really enjoyed this.
Oh, yeah, Richard. Oh, yeah, man.
And I've actually bookmarked your World Consciousness site, and maybe you and I can hook up and maybe get some email going and do some more of these shows.
Hey, that sounds good. You know, I rely mainly on, and I probably should do a little more of promoting my program, but I like I say, I'm just kind of getting back into it. My life's kind of in topsy-turvy. I'm here actually in an ad hoc studio in the process of moving. I've got stuff cluttered all over, borrowing electricity from somebody just to do my program. But, yeah, we'll do that. Just send me a friend request, or what's the name of your program?
Mine is Mountaineer Sports Talk, and if once Blog Talk gets everything, I'm in the process of starting it up, and we've been trying some different formats and trying to get some things to work. But you know, it's right now the biggest problem, or the problem we have is just this transition with Blog Talk. But well, thanks a lot, and we'll be hooking up in the future. And you have a good night.
Okay, Richard, thank you, man. I really appreciated your time, and you have a good evening, brother, okay? All right, there you go. Now, talk about creativity and spontaneity. And I liked how that happened. Although, you know what? You know, we did get a little off topic, but you know what? I think it was a productive conversation. Sounds like a very knowledgeable young man. Mountaineer Sports Talk. Yeah. On Blog Talk Radio. There you go. Another plug for him. And I am Conrad. I am the world brain of the world consciousness. And my topic this evening was does America, would we be better off basically if we were to capitulate to Bin Laden's request and as he most stridently put in his last or previous communique to the most recent one, I'm kind of getting lost with all of them anymore, he said, you know what, it'd be a lot easier, the war would be over if we would just all as a nation convert to Islam. How about that? Are we as America, basically the question is that, do you want to go out and purchase your prayer rug and, do what you got to do, go, I guess, to your local mosque and
you know, proclaim adherence to Islam and go through the whatever it takes, the indoctrination or whatever, or the you know, maybe have the version of you know, the Catholic indoctrination, what was CCD. You know, maybe we should do that. Because he did say that, you know, then the war would be over and they would win. You know what? The guy can go pound sand, as far as I'm concerned. You know what? I have my beliefs and they are my beliefs. I'm not about imposing my beliefs, you know what, because I'm not God. Yes. 6 o'clock? Okay.
Tom.
All right. 6 o'clock it is.
Tom?
From.
You're coming.
Yeah, it
Take
is.
That
yeah, 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 and the world is your way. Wherever you might do it.
All right, make sure you get me up.
Okay.
Thanks.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, it's about relationships. My 14-year-old daughter, she's going to bed at school tomorrow. It's about life. I don't want to impose my life, my will, on anybody. I live my life as it is, as creative as I have in the past, as I found myself having to be, I've done it. I've never looked to government. Yes, at times in my life, I've looked to my belief system, and it is one of many, but it's a personal belief system that I have. And I don't look to impose it on anybody. In contrast, our friends, well, the hail from the Mideast, steeped in Wahhabism, is the virulent sect of Islam, which impels our Islamist radicals to attempt to impose their, and I do believe this is a phrase that I've coined, religiocentric tyranny, a tyranny of the mind. I don't seek to impose my will, my belief system on anybody. You know why? Because I believe in freedom of thinking, freedom of thought, the right of the personal individual to determine their own destiny. And how dare one person, let alone him, speak. Now, does he speak for the entire religion of Islam? And if he does, who appointed him spokesperson? I do believe these individuals have self-imposed themselves on an entire religion. Because I have friends in Muslim countries who happen to be Muslim who think he's a wacko. I liken him to the most virulent fanatic in any other religion. Take your pick. Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, whatever Shintoism, any sect of religion, and it's a belief system. I liken Bin Laden to one of these guys. I liken Bin Laden to a virulent sect of Christianity, which reduced itself to the skinheads, the Aryan nation, thinking that they
had the corner on truth, thinking they could impose their will by force, by torture. How can that be? Somebody gets so caught up in themselves. How selfish, how narrow-minded. Now, people call the average peace-loving Christian in this country, and I'm not defending Christians. Okay, let's talk. I don't care whether you're Baptist, but predominantly, at least the last numbers that I've seen, America espouses itself to at least the last polls that I'm aware of. Roughly around 85% people believe in a supreme being or God. And I would say, realistically speaking, maybe a little more than a third, maybe two-fifths of the American population are actually really firm believers in Christianity. I mean, in that they live their life on a daily basis. That is the first thing they think of when they wake. And I've met them. I've known some of them. They're fantastic people. Some people call them and within that segment, there are some who are very very strident. They have a tendency to impose themselves. Now, I want you to take a listen to this. Now, have you ever heard a report, other than maybe a liberal blog somewhere, and I'd like to cover that a little bit, and I don't have any callers right now at 646-716-7061. If you're listening, you'd like to call in, I want to play this for you. Now, I want you to contrast this, and if you have, if you're listening, if you're archiving my program, if you've listened to a friend who happens to be Christian, have you ever met one that comes across in their rhetoric in espousing their beliefs to you? And you may have, but to this degree. And this comes from a news report from Belgium just recently, about within the last week on the wire. And Belgium's having some major problems. And let me play this for you. Get your feedback on it. If you're willing to call in, if you're listening, 646-716-7061. I've selected a file. Oh, come on. And I want it to play. What happened here? My show went off. Okay. My show went off. Let me open up my file here. Okay, I hope this is still going across, but I want to get this out.